where we're going to be discussing the Svarim of Triasar of Yoel, Ovadia, Micha, Nachum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. Basically, all those Svarim that when someone says, like, oh, have you ever learned Habakkuk? You say, I didn't even know it was in Tanakh. So what I want to look at today is an overarching theme that runs through all of these Svarim that's also extremely relevant today, and that is the idea of Geula. That we know that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which begins the period that we call Zman Geula Seinu, the time of our redemption. And each of these Svarim paints a different picture of what Geula will look like. So I want to take a look at that and discuss. We always talk about Geula, but what does that look like? And what does that mean for us? So if you look starting in Sefer Yoel, it says, V'hayach harekin eshpochat ruchi al kol basar, v'nim'u b'necham u'bnoticham zeknecham chalomu yichalimun bachurim chazyono ira'u. Hashem says in Sefer Yoel that he will pour out the power of prophecy on the Jewish people. That even, that it says, V'gam avadim v'gam ashpachol b'yamim ha'him eshpochat ruchi. Even the servants and the maids at that time will have this power of prophecy. That everyone will be able to see Hashem in a prophetic manner. It says, but it also talks about the war of Gog and Magog, that preceding this amazing time of prophecy across the world and for all the Jewish people, it says, Hashem ashiyahafich lachoshach v'hayareach ledam lefnei bo yom yom Hashem hagadol v'hanora. That there is a day before this time of Geula that will be preceding Yom Hashem, where Hashem will turn the sun into darkness and the moon into blood, that there will be this war of Gog and Magog, which we don't have a clear idea of from this source, but he goes on to describe different aspects of it. But it says, and after this time of the war of Gog and Magog, we will be able to have this power of prophecy. And Yoel continues and says, V'kibatzi kol hagayim, and I will gather together the Jewish people. I will gather together all the nations. V'horadati v'shafat v'nishfati imam, Sham alami v'nechleti Yisrael asher parsu bagayim v'al artzi yachalikun. So I will gather together all the nations, and I will gather together my people, for they have dispersed my people across the world. V'yadatam ki ani Hashem Elokecham, and you will know that I am Hashem your God. Shochem etzion harkachi v'haytai Yerushalayim kodesh v'zarim lo yavruba. That this time of Geula will be a time where everyone will gather in Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim will be under the rule of the Jewish people, and foreigners will not be there. This will be the time of eternal dwelling of Hashem in Yerushalayim. It says, V'yuda la'olam teshev Yerushalayim l'dor v'dor, and this will last for generations. And the Malbim adds here in Sefer Yoel that he says, what additionally is Hashem promising? V'haya b'yom ha'hu, titarbeh ha-shefa b'ha-bracha b'yeter. There will be an overabundance of bracha and shefa, of goodness coming from Hashem. Ad ha-rim yitfu asis miruv ha-pirot ha-mitukim. The mountains will be flowing with juice from the ripe fruits. V'agva'ot talechna ch'alav miruv ha-bakar v'atzon. And they will be dripping with milk that comes from the abundance of the cattle and the sheep. That Israel will not only endure and experience this eternal spiritual reality, but we will also have economic success, that's a tongue twister, agricultural success. And then we look at Sefer Ovadia, and Ovadia adds another layer, which is a slightly different picture, that this the Nevuot of Ovadia are focused on the nation of Edom, the descendants of Esav. And Ovadia says, "Ubahar tzion tiyah plita v'hayakudash v'irshu b'Yaakov v'morashayhem." And he says, what will happen in the time of Geula? B'is Yaakov, the children of Yaakov, will finally inherit what is rightfully theirs. V'hayah b'Yaakov ish u'bit Yosef l'hava u'bit Esav l'kash. And it says, the Jewish people, the descendants of Yaakov and the descendants of Yosef, will be like fire, and the descendants of Esau will be like straw, that they will be entirely consumed by the children of Yaakov. And it says, Va'alu Moshiyim Bahar Tzion Lishpor Et Harisa V'Hayta La'Hashem Hamulcha. And again, throughout all these Svarim are going to be quotes that we always hear, but we never knew where they were from. So now we get to learn some of their sources. And he says, in the end of days, in this time of Geula, we will gather, everyone will, on Har Esav will be judged, V'hayta la'Hashem Hamukhan, Hashem will be the eternal leader. And then we look at Sefer Micha, which talks about the rebuilding of the temple, that he says, that Har Hashem, the location of the Beis HaMikdash, the central focal point of the Jewish people, will be higher than all of the other mountains. And all the nations of the world will say, come, let's go up and let's go up to Har Hashem. Because the words of Hashem, the words of the Torah, will flow freely from Yerushalayim. And all the other nations will be judged. Nations will no longer fight with each other. And then in Sefer Nachum, it talks about the kingdom of Yehuda will be redeemed and restored to the land. And in Sefer Habakkuk, it adds an additional level, that it doesn't directly talk about what the Gula will necessarily look like in Habakkuk, but it also mentions that Hashem will, in the future, will redeem the Jewish people. And Habakkuk blesses Hashem for being the redeemer. And then lastly in Sifania, it says, Lachin, Chikuli Ne'um Hashem Leyom Kumi Ki Meshbati La'asof Gayim V'kibatzi Mam Lachot L'shpoch Alayim Za'ami. He says, what will the time of Gula be? It will be a time of judging the nations of the world, where we will finally be able to pour out our wrath on the people who have tortured us. Ki Be'ish Kiniti Tochal Kol Ha'aretz. Ki Az Epoch Alamim Safa Bura, because finally then all the nations will call out in one clear voice, L'kroa kulam b'shem Hashem, so they can all call out in the name of Hashem. La'avdosh. So we see from all of these tefarim, from Yoel we get one picture, from Habakkuk we get another picture, from Micha another, and Sefania yet another picture. So one would hope that once we move out of Tanakh into Chazal, we have a more unified picture. However, we all know that there are so many different approaches to the Geula. I think it was the Belzer Rebbe that was one time asked. They said, Rebbe, what do we do with all these ideas of Mashiach's going to come in Nisan, Mashiach's going to be born on Tisha B'Av, Mashiach can't come on Shabbos, Mashiach can come. There's a million different ideas, and if you put them all together, they don't make sense. And he said, you know what? When he comes, we'll ask him what all the other things meant. Until then, let's just focus on the Geula. But what does that mean? So I want to look at one approach that the Rambam discusses. How do we know what Geula will look like? So let's go through the Rambam together. And the Rambam says, Al ya'alal haliv, she'yibiyamor ha-mashiach yibatel davar mimin ha-gosh al-olam. That one should not think that in the times of Mashiach, anything will be different from how it is right now. Or there will be some change in the way the world was created. Ella olam kimin hago nohig. Rather, the world will go exactly according to how it always goes. Now I want to pause here and share a personal story. When I was in 11th grade, I was sitting in my Jewish philosophy class, and I am a big miracles believer. For me, the way my brain works is if someone tells me that Hashem split the sea, that makes perfect sense to me. But if someone tells me that things are going to happen and tries to fit them into a more natural approach, that does not work as well for me. I know that works very well for other people. So I'm a big believer in times of Mashiach, the classic approach, eagle's wings, we're all going to fit in Israel, fly there, who knows how we're going to live, it's going to be like the Beis HaMikdash times, like, for me, that works in my brain. So I had to sit down in Jewish philosophy class, and my teacher says, today we're going to be learning about the times of Mashiach. And he starts to read this Rambam, which says, nothing will change, life will be exactly the way it's going to be, and we're going to continue in the Rambam and see how he does approach the days of Geula. And I freaked out. I told my teacher, this is Kfira, there is no way this can be. But over time, I've come to appreciate that there is beauty in the many approaches to Geula. But just coming, that's my first experience with this Rambam. But it really is a very interesting approach and just does show us the wide range of approaches to what Geula will look like. So it says, V'zeh sh'ne'emar b'Yeshaya, Vigar ze'ivim keves, v'nemer im gedi yirbat. So there's the famous pasuk in Yeshaya that talks about that the wolf and the lamb will lie together, and the leopard should lie with a goat. And there's this famous metaphor, and he says, so how do we understand that? If we say there will not be any change in Ma'aseh Bereishit, there will not be any change in nature, then how do we understand this parable? He says it should be understood as that, as a parable and a riddle. That it says, Mashal v'chida, Inyan ha-davar shiyya Yisrael yoshvin la-betach im rosh'ei akum ha-meshulim kize'evin amer. So he says, what is this a parable to? That we will dwell peacefully with our neighbors, that we, the sheep, will dwell peacefully with our neighbors, which can be compared to the leopard. So we shouldn't be put down by this idea of the Rambam that he says that nothing will change. It will change. There will be a change in that we will live in peace. There will be a worldwide peace, but it's not that there will be a change in the nature of the world. And everyone will return and acknowledge the true religion and the true knowledge. People will not steal. They will not act corruptly towards one another. Rather, everyone will sit in peace with Israel. That they will sit together and they will eat the permitted foods. And so he says, all of the ideas that we have in relation to Mashiach and in relation to the times of Geula, all should be understood as Mishalim, as parables. And at the time of Geula, it will become apparent to us what each of these Mashalim mean, much like the story of the Balzer Rebbe, that he said, we'll understand what it means that he was born on Tisha B'Av, or that he must come during Nisan. All these things will be parables to us. And at the times of Mashiach, we'll worry about understanding what each of them means. So he continues and he says, Amru Chachamim, Im Bein Olam Hazeh LeYamod HaMashiach, Ela B'Shibud Malchiot Bilvad. So he says, nothing will be different between now and the times of Mashiach, except for our subservience to other nations. Your Emi P'shutan Shal Divrei HaNeviim. And this is clear from the words of the Neviim. Shebitchila Yamod HaMashiach, Tiyyem Melchemek Gog Magog. There is a clear idea that there will be some sort of war of Gog u'Magog. V'shekudem milchamek Gog u'Magog ya'amud navi liyasher Yisrael v'lahachin libam. And that before this war of Gog u'Magog, a navi will stand up and set straight the hearts of Israel, and it will prepare them. Sheneemar hinei anochi sholeach lachem Eliyahu, as it says in Sefer Malachi, that behold, I am sending before you Eliyahu anavi. Hatahor v'lola taheret. V'eino ba lo l'tamei ha-tahor, v'lo l'taher ha-tamei, v'lo l'fsol anashim shehim b'cheska kasher, v'lo l'hachshir mi shehachziku psulin, ela l'sum shalom ba'alam. So he is not coming to do anything besides to bring peace to the world. Sh'ne'emar v'hashi le'vavur al-banim. V'yesh min ha-chachamim she'omrim she'kodem b'yad ha-mashiach yabaw Eliyahu. And there are those who say that prior to Biyat HaMashiach, before the coming of Mashiach, Eliyahu will come. V'chein ilu hadvarim v'chayotzei bahen lo yida adam ich yiyu ad yiyu. But the Rambam says, and this is what he is famously quoted for, saying that we have no idea. That until the time that Mashiach comes, we will not know what will be. Shedvarim stumin hin itel hanaviyim. That the things are contradictory, as we saw. The description in Micha is very different from the description in Nahum, which is very different from the description in Sefaniah. And the Rambam saying it's impossible to sort them out. Gam ha-chachamim ein lahem kabbalah b'divarim elu. Even the chachamim don't understand these issues. Ela lafi hachrai ha-psukim. Rather, they can just read what they see in the psukim. V'lafichach yesh lahem machloket b'divarim elu. There are many, many different opinions on this. So he said, therefore, we don't make understanding the times of Geula integral to our faith. The loyish miyim ikar, we don't make them the essential push in our avodat Hashem. She'in mevi'in lo lidei yira v'lo lidei ahava. They don't bring you to yiras Hashem. They don't bring you to avas Hashem. V'achin lo yichshav hakatzin. So someone who is who is trying to serve Hashem properly should not think into these things. Amru chachamim, tipach rucham kol machshavei hakitzim. Rather, we should believe that there will be Mashiach, and we should not waste our time thinking about what the times of Mashiach will look like. So I guess the shir ends here. If we're talking about what Ge'ula looks like, and the Rambam says it's not appropriate to try to delve into what Mashiach will look like because there's so many conflicting approaches, then what is our role? Why do we talk about Geula? Moving into Chodesh Nisan, which is this Zman Geula Sinu, what are we supposed to be thinking about? So that's what I wanted to approach in the rest of this year. And I want to give two main approaches as to what is our role. That if we can't understand what it's going to look like, and we're not meant to spend our time trying to delve into what it's meant to look like, what we are meant to do is figure out what our role is. So I'm going to go through the approach of the Satmar Rebbe and the approach of Rav Kook, both which came about with the Zionist movement, that we discussed their approaches. This is not a shiur on Zionism, and I'm not saying one path is terrible while one is great. It's two approaches to how we can understand the Ge'ula, and I don't think they're mutually exclusive. And I think if we understand them both, they can not only enhance our approach to Ge'ula, but our Avodas Hashem in general. So first we're going to look at the approach of the Satmar Rebbe, which, as many know, is very controversial as the main source for the anti-Zionist movement. The Satmar Rebbe bases his approach to Zionism, and therefore his approach to the Geula in general, off a Gemara in Ketubot, which talks about a topic known as the Gimel Shvuot. The Gimel Shvuot are, in Shir HaShirim, it says three times, V'hishpati etchem b'not Yerushalayim. There are these three swearings, and it's addressed in the Gemara. What are each of these referring to? So it says in the Gemara in Ketubot, V'rabbi Zera hahu shelo ya'alu Yisrael b'choma. So the Rabbi Zera says the first one is that B'nai Yisrael should not go up on the wall. V'rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Hishpati acharina k'tiv, V'rabbi Zera hahu miva'ilei, K'drabbi Yosi b'Rab Chanina damar, Gimel Shvuot halalu, Lama echat shelo ya'alu Yisrael b'choma, ve'echat shehashpia HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Yisrael shelo yimradu ba'omor halam, ve'echat shehashpia HaKadosh Baruch Hu et ha'ovdei kochavim, shelo yitadu ba'hen b'Yisrael yoter midai. So Rabbi Zera says that the first shvua is that B'nai Yisrael should not go up on the wall. What does that mean? It means that B'nai Yisrael should not go en masse to Eretz Yisrael. And then they continue, and Rabbi Yossi says, the second, he agrees that the first oath, the first swear, is that B'nai Yisrael should not go up en masse to Eretz Yisrael. Rather, they should go little by little. He says the second one is that Hashem has the Jews swear that they should not rebel against the other nations that are leading them. And the third is that Hashem has the nations of the world swear that they should not oppress the Jewish people too much. So the approach of the Satmar Rebbe is that these Gimel Shvuot all go together. That in order that we know that the nations of the world will not oppress us too much, we should also not rebel against the nations of the world, and we should not go up en masse to Eretz Yisrael until the times of Mashiach. So the Satmar Rebbe's approach comes from the words of the Munkacs Rebbe. And the Munkacs Rebbe says, one may not rely on any natural effort or material salvation by human labor. One should not expect redemption from any source other than God. He would cite Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz saying that the oath taken by B'nai Israel not to hasten the end of days, the congregation of Israel shouted out their vow, for even the whole people of Israel is prepared to go to Yerushalayim, and even if all of the nations consent, it is absolutely forbidden to go there, because the end is unknown, and perhaps this is the wrong time, that tomorrow or the next day they might sin, and will yet again need to go into exile, heaven forbid, and the later exile will be harsher than the former. So these are the words of the Munkacs Rebbe, upon which the Satmar Rebbe built his approach. That we have no business in going into Eretz Yisrael or bringing the Ge'ula on our own in any way. Rather, the Ge'ula is something entirely from Hashem, we cannot try to hasten its coming because it may not be the right time. So according to the Sama Rebbe, we should not live in our lives in a method to bring Ge'ula. The Ge'ula, much like the Rambam says, is not something that we should be working towards. It's not something we should be focusing on as a motivation. Rather, according to the Sama Rebbe, we should go about our lives. We should do what we are meant to do. We should do mitzvot. We should serve Hashem. We should have emunah. And within this emunah, believe that when Hashem believes that it is the proper time to bring the ge'ula, Hashem will bring the ge'ula to the world. That nothing we are going to do is going to influence the bringing of the ge'ula. That this very much relates to what Hashem says to Habakkuk. That Habakkuk comes and calls out to Hashem. And Hashem says, Tzadik be'emunaso yechia, that a tzadik should live in his emunah, that we should live believing that we are acting in a way that will eventually merit us to receive the ge'ula. But we should not do anything actively to bring the ge'ula. So how do we internalize this approach in our lives? I think this helps us to work on a very micro level, that we should be focusing on each and every one of our actions. And we believe that if we do each and every action properly, that eventually that is what Hashem wants, and then Hashem, in the right time, when it is meant to come, will bring us the Ge'ula. We believe strongly in the Koach HaTfila. We should continue to daven for the Ge'ula. We should continue to act in ways that will merit the Ge'ula. But we should not act in any way to hasten the Ge'ula. So that's the first approach of the Sama Rebbe, that we live in a way that will bring and hopefully merit the Ge'ula, but we have no direct impact on the coming of the Ge'ula. And then there's another approach, and that's the approach of Rav Kook. And the approach of Rav Kook is notably the basis of the Zionist movement, of returning to Eretz Yisrael, of the idea of Reishit Smicha Gulatinu. So I want to look at where this is developed. If we look in the Midrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, it says, Mizot Nishkefa Kemo Shachar. It quotes the pasuk that it says that we are peeking through the window, Nishkefa, that we are peering out. Kemo Shachar, it says, like the sunrise. Dilma Rabbi Chiya Rabbi Shimon Bar Khalifa. Havon mehalchin behada bekat arba el mikritzata, ve'ra'u ayelet hashachar shebek'a ora. Amar lo Rabbi Chiya. So, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon bar Khalifa, they were walking and they saw the sunrise. Ve'ra'u ayelet hashachar, they saw the beginning of sunrise, shebek'a ora, that the light was beginning to come. Amar lo Rabbi Chiya, bar le Rabbi Shimon bar Khalifa. So Rabbi Chiya said to Rabbi Shimon bar Khalifa, Kach tihiyeh gula san shal Yisrael. So too the ge'ula of Bnei Yisrael will be like this. Mitzaf tzefe dichtiv, ki ishi b'choshach Hashem orli b'tchila hi ba'a kima kima. So he says it will be peeking, it will peer out. The ge'ula will come on us slowly, just like the sunrise. And it says ba'a kima kima. It will come ever so slowly. It will come piece by piece. And afterwards, it will be a grand coming. That if we think about the sunrise, you begin to see the light much before you actually see the sun. That so too the Ge'ula will be like this. That slowly but surely, we'll start to see the comings of the Ge'ula. And then all of a sudden, there will be this mass coming, like the coming up of the sun. That all of a sudden, you see the source of all the light that you saw previously. V'acharkach para v'raba, and it will grow and grow. V'acharkach meratefet v'holacha, and then it will spread out and light up the entire world. So upon this, Rav Kook built his approach, that the Ge'ula will not be something that comes on us all at once. Rather, it will be something that comes slowly but surely, that it will come piece by piece. So what Rav Kook says is that everything we do can be the beginning of this Ge'ula. That famously he says that the establishment of the State of Israel is Reishit Smicha Ge'ulasenu, is the beginning of the Ge'ula, that it is the beginning of this light shining up from the Ge'ula, that we do not yet have the full source, the full beams of light. However, we do see the beginnings of the light radiating out of Israel. So to quote from Rav Kook, he says in Olat HaRe'iyah, the knowledge that everything is in the hand of God and for a higher purpose, and the promise that we will return to our foundation, our holy land, is itself what has weakened our practical effort and caused the deadening of enthusiasm. As long as there are opportunities to act, there is no reason to be passive, for are not all acts of man in truth acts of God? Nevertheless, the arrival at this understanding requires much preparation and maturing in intellect and feeling it in life. We also need greatly to arouse the desire that we ourselves will be the one to act as much as we possibly can. So what Rav Kook is saying is that we cannot view that we have no role in the Ge'ula, because that brings about passivity, that brings about apathy when people don't act and they don't do anything. He says that by acknowledging that the Ge'ula will come slowly but surely, piece by piece, we also establish our role in the Ge'ula. That Rav Kook famously says that everything that is done, not just what we see as being holy acts, but everything that is done in the establishment of the state of Israel is bringing the Ge'ula one step closer. For example, from my own life, when I lived in Israel last year, we had to establish a bank account, which anyone who has ever had the pleasure of establishing a bank account in Israel knows that it is far from a holy act. Needless to say, it took 5 attempts, lots of sweat, probably some tears, and a lot of arguing with people in a language that is not my natural tongue. And finally, after 5 tries, we established a bank account in the state of Israel. And Rav Kook would say about this, that was one step in furthering the Ge'ula. That it's not just that when we daven for the Ge'ula, and it's not just when we learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, but when we open a bank account, which is setting up the economy in the Jewish state of Israel, that is furthering the Ge'ula. That every tedious act, that's starting with the Chalutzim, when they dug each hole they dug in the ground in Yerushalayim, each tree they planted, is a step towards the Ge'ula. Now, this is the approach of Rav Kook, that the opposite of the Satmar Rebbe, that we have no role in bringing the Ge'ula, that our role is to do the right thing, to focus on a micro level on each and every one of our actions, and then hope that in time, when it is appropriate, Hashem will bring the Ge'ula to us. Rav Kook is saying the exact opposite. That Rav Kook is saying, we have to take an active role in the Ge'ula. That Rav Kook says you have to look at everything on a macro level. Then it's not just that I am planting a tree in Israel, but rather, I am planting a tree which is going to build up the agriculture, which is going to help us fulfill the vision in Sefer Yoel that Hashem says that the ground will be ripe and the agriculture will be prosperous. So by me planting that tree, I am working towards that Ge'ula. I'm not just waiting for Hashem to send it to me. So I think coming out of this, we have two major approaches that we can apply in our lives. We can apply the approach of the Satmar Rebbe, that we cannot take an active role in bringing the Ge'ula. And for some people that will work, that they will say, I can't work towards something that I don't know, that I don't have a clear picture of, that seems unattainable, that I have to just keep on doing what I'm doing, do the right thing, and daven, and use my koach of tefillah, and hope that in time Hashem will bring the Ge'ula when it is meant to happen. And then there are those times in our lives, and it, for those people who this works better, that we use the approach of Rav Kook, that we can play an active role, and not just by doing mitzvot, not just by the things that we think are holy acts, but every act we do can further the Ge'ula. That if we send money to Israel, if we learn Torah in Israel, if we plant a tree in Israel, that's all furthering the Ge'ula. And I think we all have those moments in our lives where we need to look at the big picture, that we don't necessarily see how what we're doing is playing into the overall bringing of Mashiach, or even the good of the Jewish people, but recognizing that you have to sometimes look on this micro level at each individual action, and sometimes you have to look at the macro level and see how everything plays into that big picture. And in that way, you can bring the Ge'ula. So I think going into the Zman Ge'ula Seinu, we can look back at Habakkuk, where Habakkuk comes to Hashem. And at this point in Habakkuk, he is apologizing for criticizing Hashem, that Habakkuk called out and said, how could you punish the Jewish people like this? How could the Jewish people be suffering? And Hashem answers him And Habakkuk answers and in the end blesses Hashem for being the Ga'al Yisrael, that he says, Hashem, you are going to be the Redeemer of the Jewish people, and blesses Hashem for that. And I think this is compared to the bracha that we make at the end of Magid, where we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Ga'alanu V'Ga'al Et Avoseinu Mimitzrayim, V'Hegi'anu Halayla Hazeh L'Echol Bo Matzo Maror. Kein Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu Yigi'inu L'Mo'adim L'Regalim Achirim Haba'im L'Karsinu L'Shalom. Smicha mivinyani racha vesasim avura sacha venuchal sham min azvachim min apsachim asher yagia damam al kirmiz bechacha l'ratzon v'nodelach asher chadash al gulasinu v'al pizot nafshinu baruch ata Hashem ga'al Yisrael. That I think we have to internalize this message, that when things don't seem easy, and I think this is definitely a time that it's easy to understand that part of the equation, that things don't seem easy, they seem so out of our control, we bless Hashem for being the Ga'al Yisrael. And that's a two-part geula. That in this bracha, we thank Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for getting us to this holiday, to be sitting at this table right now, and being able to experience our geula through the seder. We also daven to Hashem that we should merit in the future geula. So I think if we look back at the Nevi'im of Triasar, and we say that each of us give us, while each gives us a different picture of what the Geula will look like, they each give us an optimistic view of a time where the nations of the world will gather together, there will be peace, there will be prosperity, there will be this spiritual revelation, and everyone will recognize Hashem. But even though we don't have a clear picture of what that looks like, we can work to achieve it in some way, whether it's going with the approach of the Satmar Rebbe, that while we may not directly impact the Geula, we should focus on our actions in order to merit the Geula. Or it's the approach of Rav Kook, that we should think about each and every action that we do as bringing us one step closer to the Geula. And then at the end of the day, we should remember the bracha from Habakkuk to Hashem, that he blessed Hashem for being the Redeemer. And think about that as our seders, that we hope to experience a Geula in each and every one of our lives, each and every day, that we... It's a mini Geula arriving at the Seder, being able to celebrate the Seder. And that we use that to fuel ourselves and to motivate ourselves and say we can experience a Geula on a small scale level. And we hope and pray to experience the final Geula, the Geula on a national, universal level, b'mheira b'yameinu.